Brian Wilson and friends, of course, the Beach Boys, writing a song which probably, if you had a time machine, would say, well, you've obviously got to dedicate that to the newbie California girl extraordinaire. Yes, it's Tara Bennett. How are you, Tara?
I love that I got played in with that song, so thank you. I feel all special.
Well, you are. You know, you've moved East Coast to West Coast. Yourself, Ilana Ray, a whole range of folk there. You were talked on in hallowed, hushed tones by Dave Bradley and colleagues, obviously, at the World Science Fiction Convention, as you know, if you managed to download the podcast and various other things. And, of course, you've also, in the current edition of SFX Magazine, issue 252, got not only the rave, but also the rant. And Tara's rave this month, having seen the gameplay of the upcoming Alien Isolation game with the exclusive Ellen Ripley from Alien content, you're excited, Tara. You're excited.
Oh, it's hit my inner geek, Alex. My inner geek was super, super happy to see it, and it just looks awesome, and it looks scary, and it looks like the kind of game that if you're an Alien or an Aliens fan, that is just gonna keep you up at night and, you know, from wanting to finish it and then being terrified because of what you're playing. So
exactly.
That has me so happy.
And don't worry about any stomach issues, because it's not going to happen with respect to Alien. It's, you know, once is enough with the Android. You can only have so many kind of bursts forward on that basis. However, it has to be said, you've also got in the little rant, do we really need another Batman origin story via the TV series Gotham? I'm feeling origined out when it comes to comic book mythology backstories on the big and small screen. I know where you're coming from this one. In fact, Tarina, who's in the studio with us, Tarina, we were saying in the pre-show chat that one of the things you have to be very careful about when you talk about graphic narratives for youngsters is obviously they can't necessarily go down the line of Batman or Superman, otherwise they might be quite shocked.
No, that's right. I do recommend graphic novels for reluctant readers. But we have to, I usually say to the parents, don't get Batman and don't get Spider-Man, don't get the Hulk, because they think it's quite a cartoony thing, but it's not. It's really quite dark in some instances. So we say stick to Shakespeare or stick to The Simpsons.
Yeah, not Shakespeare, and Titus Andronicus is not necessarily the best choice.
No, but you can get graphic novels of Shakespeare.
Yeah, indeed you can. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
You can.
It's worthwhile. Delighted to see not one, not two, not three, but four lovely features. And I always bring a smile to my face when I collect my SFX subscribers copy, which is, of course, available with a marvellous lack of any cover routines, as well as, obviously, the standard store-bought copy, and find you talking about Supernatural, S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of, etc., and, of course, the pièce de résistance in many ways, Tara. Surely something which is going to resonate with teachers and folk the world over, the classic upcoming iZombie.
Yes, exactly. I know. And we have our TV preview, and so I'm so excited to have been able to talk to some of the executive producers on those shows. And iZombie is another one of those graphic novel origins that has kind of evolved. If anybody in your listening ship watched Veronica Mars, Rob Thomas is the man that's adapting iZombie, which was a graphic novel title, to a TV show. It'll be starting, I think, in the U.S. and your country in the new year. Mm. So it's still a little off, but it's basically maybe along the lines of Warm Bodies, a film that came out last year that kind of has a little bit of a comedic kind of look at zombies, definitely not Walking Dead-style zombies, but kind of the idea of if you become a zombie, can you still retain some of your humanity? And it looks like it might be quirky, and it's got a lot of potential, so I'm definitely looking forward to seeing where they go with it. And we've got Supernatural, which is starting year 10, which is amazing. So if you've been a Supernatural fan, you've gotten that show for so long now and wondering where it's going to keep going or how long it's going to keep going. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., of course, starts its second year, and we'll see if the momentum from Winter Soldier makes that a better show this year.
Absolutely. Now, I'll just put a part out for the benefit of people who are wanting to catch up. It's page 68, the iZombie line, if Tarina, you'd like to pass it over to Ed. And one little line that comes through this, which again just captures the magic of the whole scenario here. What we kept from the comic book was the big idea and the premise of a woman in her 20s who is a functional zombie. No mention of Lincoln here whatsoever, either city council or university. She needed brains to survive and inherits the memories of the brains she ate. And, of course, yes. In the series itself, the troubled lady in question is Liv Moore, played by Rose McIver. Again, a sort of reference to Buffy, etc. Now, I ask you, Ed Wellman, what's not to love about iZombie?
I particularly like the lowercase I.
Yeah, the lowercase I.
I think that sells it to me.
You know, that's clearly the bottom line. And that is probably why, although Joseph McCabe has produced some good stuff, ultimately, you know, you win on the basis of you got the show with the lowercase I.
And 22 episodes a year as well. Yeah. Hopefully.
I agree.
And then, of course, we remember the time of the classic interview you did with, of course, Oz director. And you said, I hope there'll be flying monkeys, etc. And once again, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., page 65, you have the classic line, I would hope there will be other villains. Exactly. Hydra, cut off a limb and two more shall take its place. Had a bit of a disagreement with Torino just before the show, because Torino was convinced, partly because her boyfriend had said it was so, and I always think that's a dodgy line to actually take, but nevertheless, you know, let's work on this premise. Torino was convinced that there was a Marvel movie, and she specifically said Thor the Dark World, if I recall, Torino. Is that right? Thor the Dark World?
It was, sorry.
Which went straight to DVD without a theatrical release. I said nonsense. Would you like to just support me on that particular one, Tara?
Well, there was one, but it was pre this whole new Marvel franchise extravaganza. So it was way back in the day.
Way back!
I'm going to have to check my sources.
I raised the issue, which got short shrift as well, that there was, of course, the classic David Hasselhoff incarnation of Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., that also went straight.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking to actually do a feature on that very sort of one-off scenario because he had the eye patch and everything.
I don't know why that, you know, Kevin Feige at Marvel now hasn't done that. I mean, that seems like the most logical one-shot that we'll ever see. And I know I can't wait to see Hasselhoff back here.
Yeah, Hasselhoff as Nick Fury. I could hear Samuel Jackson quaking in his boots. All I can say is Samuel L. Jackson must have been very grateful for Moran Michael Bendis writing a different form of Nick Fury.
I think they both have a poncho on for turtleneck jumpers as well. Samuel L. Jackson and David Hasselhoff.
And David Hasselhoff, yeah. Except in Baywatch, of course.
Well, no, it's not a good look.
Depends who's wearing
it. Jumper, not so much. No. But you know what? A jumper-wearing David Hasselhoff against Samuel L. Jackson's Nick Fury, but the two of them in one movie together.
Yes.
I think they've just made their new blockbuster.
As ever, Tara. I mean, last time round, obviously, we were talking with respect to Stephanie Kramer about getting Dee Dee McCall,
right,
you know, together. I think we've come up with another genius scenario. So, you know, that's the line.
I think our setup is just we're a Hollywood making machine, and if they're not listening to this every time we talk, they're just losing money. I think they just have to jump on this, where ideas come from.
Precisely so. I'm going to look at some of the Emmy Awards. Ed, would you like to actually ask any questions to the legend that is Tara Bennett?
I would, Tara. Where do you see 2015 take the whole SF world? Where do you think it's going to head?
Well, you know, we have a lot of superhero shows coming down the pike. So, of course, Gotham, we've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., 2015, we'll see Agent Carter, which is the expansion of that one shot that was done. So we actually get a limited series, iZombie. We've got Walking Dead second half coming back. So it's actually, you know, sci-fi is very strong right now. We've got Powers that's looking like it's going to be coming. And so, you know, and that's going to be the first time that the PS4 channel is actually going to be hosting its own original programming. So it's nice. And Netflix, of course, will be launching their Marvel shows. So Daredevil's the first one off the block. So the world of sci-fi television and, you know, superhero television is really strong right now. So that's really fun for those of us that dig that genre.
And what are your thoughts on the new Doctor? And indeed, how long do you think the new Doctor will be on our screens for?
Well, I love Peter Capaldi. I think he's amazing. So I think it's a really nice change-up, too, to have, you know, a different demographic, to have what he brings to the table, change up the storytelling. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like that the cycle of bringing in new actors really keeps that franchise fresh. So I would say maybe 2.5, 3 years for Peter. I think that sounds like about right.
I think we'll go with that.
Penny Evans, who has contributed to our Facebook package, says, I know I'm a fan of the X-Files, that is, but have we seen the new X-Files comics, Season 10, by, of course, IDW? The general line is that it's nice to see the X-Files carry on in whatever form it may take. I know we're shifting into graphic narratives here, but Tara, have you seen the new X-Files comics?
No, but I actually am getting a copy of that very soon. A guest of yours, Paul Terry, is a huge fan of the X-Files, and so we were just talking about that. But I did just see their crossover issue that was bound, and that's got crossovers with the Ghostbusters, and it's an amazing mixture of every kind of genre that you love mixed with the X-Files. So I'm excited to see what IDW is going to do with keeping that world alive, and I think that's a great thing. Anytime that, you know, the X-Files, people still watch shows today and go, oh, you know, that's like a modern-day X-Files. So it's really the benchmark of amazing kind of anthology/genre storytelling. So I'm excited to actually see that title myself.
And, of course, IDW did come up with the classic Matt Smith Doctor Who meets Star Trek The Next Generation. Classic.
Yeah, exactly.
It just makes one salivate in one's geek moments. But anyway, still slightly sad to find that in the Emmy Awards this year, the Outstanding Drama Series OK Breaking Bad, the Outstanding Miniseries Fargo, Best Actor in Drama Bryan Cranston, Breaking Bad, of course, Juliana Margulies in The Good Wife, Best Actress, Jim Parsons won Best Actor for The Big Bang Theory, Veep with Julie Louis-Dreyfus picked up Best Actress, and Best Actor, of course, was Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock, His Last Vow, together with outstanding writing for a miniseries, movie or drama going to Stephen Moffat. I suppose apart from the Sherlock stuff there, not a great deal of representation of genre. Do you think we're ever going to get to the stage, possibly in the next couple of years, Tara, where Emmys might begin to recognise the joy and wonderment that is science fiction, speculative fiction, and indeed fantasy television?
No. Yeah.
I know. It's like the last prejudice. We must conquer. We must challenge this, you know, and seek the things.
I know. You know, there are a lot of other organizations and like Critics' Choice and the TCAs, which do honor genre storytelling, which is great. Because the Emmys, unfortunately, until they do a really big shakeup with how they allow people to watch and how they allow to vote, you've just got a lot of people that actually work in the industry that don't have time to watch it. And then they just go to the things that they know are popular, like Modern Family winning over and over again. And, you know, Game of Thrones with their incredible cast not winning any actors awards. Certainly not saying that, you know, Breaking Bad in its last season didn't deserve those kinds of awards. But you see the same names, and that's the problem with the Emmys. You see the same names coming up back and forth. And even when you do get some new names, it's often that they don't win. So it is frustrating. And the Emmys, I think, is always going to be, at least for the time being and the near future, going to be a frustrating place for genre fans. That, you know, if you miss someone like Tatiana Maslany for Orphan Black, then you really are missing that it's an outstanding performance. And it doesn't really matter if it's a genre show. It should just be honored because she's great. And that's just what they're not seeing yet. So hopefully we can all cross our fingers that maybe in the next 5 years they'll shift their perspective.
It'll happen, I'm sure. If we believe it to be so, it will be so. Fantastic stuff. And of course, a little reminder, of course, we've now actually got the date for our Telefantasy conference, which hopefully you'll be able to come along to, Tara, next year. Ooh. Which is actually May the 6th, 2015. Very exciting.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Tarina, last two questions for Tara Bennett, please.
Hi, Tara. Have you had a reasonably good telephonic connection today?
Yes, I have.
Fab. And would you like to return to the show?
Yes, please.
Yay! Of course, Tara Bennett, inevitably. She's a California girl now. Fantastic. Coming up next, Phil Leonis, also from California, specifically Los Angeles. Apologies, Tarina. Much as we like the Smiths and Morrissey and the magical world of Johnny Marr, how soon is now? Well, it's never soon enough to actually welcome our ace director from Los Angeles, the Sunshine State, all set and ready to talk about everything from milking sheep right the way through to dealing with dogs, the canine variety, etc. Fuzz Aldrin, of course, his ace cat. You spoke last time you were on the show, Tarina, to the delightful Lily Holliman, who's very much in the Linus Meister's camp of good, wonderful souls. And a quick mention for Benny Evans, who said Peter Capaldi impressed her straight away. He brings back the past for Penny, as he's like a hybrid of John Pertwee and Tom Baker. Interesting, interesting. Anyway, I'm not here to talk for the remaining 18 minutes of the show. That's going to be for Linus and more. How are you, Phil Linus?
Well, I need to address the Penny Evans comment. I enjoyed seeing Peter Capaldi and being reminded of when he used to get good roles to play. So sad watching Doctor Who.
Take that, slam dunk, eh?
If you've listened to this week's Chopac Hollywood Hour, the weekly podcast I've been hosting for more than 7 years with Dean Haglund of The X-Files, you know that I simply have thrown up my hands, and I will never understand the appeal of Doctor Who. In fact, I had to ask him, was that actually me watching Doctor Who for an hour the other night? And do I win? And do I win anything for enduring that? That was really the question.
Listen,
so I don't get it. I just don't get it, Alex. So maybe you should speak for the final 18 minutes. We can do some kind of intervention. You can talk me down. Why, as a grown man, would I find this show interesting?
Tarina, would you like to step into that?
I think that's called passing the book.
Well, it is after a fashion, but I mean, I like Doctor Who, and I appreciate the duos. I'm not a fanatic in terms of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Ed, of course, has produced Whovians, who actually did a whole Doctor Who series of specials. I've got a lot of time for the Doctor. I think the adventures are there are very positive, although ultimately, if pushed, I'd always say Star Trek floats my boat. I wonder if Phil's able to answer that question I put in the early part of the programme about libraries. Anyway.
Yes.
You may not have been listening then, of course.
I haven't been able to listen to the show, Alex. I've still been too upset about the experience of not getting an hour of my life back while watching Doctor Who. No, it's been one of those crazy days. Nothing has gone right, so I've not been able to enjoy the fine program. Is there a way after the fact, Alex, that I can still enjoy all that I missed?
You know, amazingly, there is. Ed, how can he listen to the show all over again?
You can go to southsidebroadcasting.com.
Podbean.com. Or either. I'll take
or either. Or you can go to Siren Online. Uh-huh. You can also go to sirenfm.com, which will also take you there.
It might be for this show you'd have to go through a time warp, though, because
exactly.
Current lines could be...
That's a Doctor Who reference, and it's making me uncomfortable. But I do want to know, because I do want to say that, you know, people have often said to me, oh, well, the Doctor Who is just too British for American audiences to really respond to it. And that was true, I think, for a long time. But the Britishness of it was, as a kid, what did appeal to me. Because, as you know, I love a British culture. However, it's now in America, it's taking off, although it was really taking off in its hormonal teenage version with the most recent Doctors, David Tennant, Matt Smith, etc. And now I think Peter Capaldi might restore it to its place of, oh, well, you need to be British to enjoy it. But why, again, what am I missing? What am I not grasping? Someone help me.
But you see, the thing, Phil, I view all television like this. I cannot watch anything on the television other than Good Morning Britain or This
it's
Morning.
Not ju- Ed,
just
let's face it, it's not
I,
just
it's,
television.
Is it me?
How long have you had Lawrence of Arabia?
Up to 18 months.
Yeah.
I've lost it now.
This is Spinal Tap.
About the same.
Exactly. Did you ever even get to the stage of it's up to 11 on Spinal Tap? Have you put it in the machine?
I can't find the machine.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're interested in cultural media arts, Ed Wellman, possibly not the source of wisdom in terms of things from that perspective. Tarina, what about Doctor Who from your own perspective? Floats your boat.
Well, if it's any consolation, Phil, the last time I watched Doctor Who was when Tom Baker was the Doctor and I was about 5. And then I revisited it later on when Sylvester McCoy was the Doctor and could have cried. Mm. And then
why? Explain. Why would you cry then?
Because it was awful.
Oh,
and I think as well, sometimes the whole Doctor thing is pushed as a British sort of thing that every British person really loves, and we don't all love it. I'm afraid I'm not a massive Doctor Who fan. just because it just doesn't appeal to me, really. I think it would be better if it was like it was in the 70s when I was a kid, with wobbly sets and sort of flashy lights that don't do anything. And
I'll defend the fact that the wobbly sets weren't always wobbly. They were under a tight budget. So they didn't have the Star Trek budget and so on.
They were wobbly.
That's a great point. I mean, that was the appeal of it. I do... Look, Tom Baker, if I have a doctor, it's Tom Baker. As a kid, that was my doctor. And also, what a fabulously odd individual and idiosyncratic actor. Quite honestly, he might really be the doctor, Tom Baker, as far as I know, in real life. None of us can prove that he isn't. And that appeal, I made the comparison to Lost in Space. On our show this week, when there was a horrible reboot of Lost in Space, a big budget movie about a decade ago, I took that opportunity to fondly revisit some old episodes of Lost in Space, and it was as if I was murdering my own soul. There are certain things that one just from childhood one cannot revisit and enjoy, But there was a purity to those old Doctor Whos when they wore their limited budget like a badge of honor. Doctor Who with a budget, all I did all episode long watching Peter Capaldi and this young actress who plays the companion who seems to be a talent, I just felt embarrassed on their behalf the whole time.
Harsh words, and I can't agree entirely with your good self. I thought it could have done with a bit of judicious editing. Overall, I stand by the discussion I actually had with Sarah Bullimore and Chris Marlowe and Kyra Hickman earlier today when we were talking about the dates for our first ever science fiction symposium we're hosting at the University of Lincoln next year. By the way, it's May the 6th. All right, May the 6th, 2015. But allowing for that, I gave it a 7 out of 10. I did feel that they clearly had Stephen Moffat riffing on his Sherlockian fondness and the notions of obviously the fun of Sherlock, even though obviously he did an updated version as opposed to the one I know secretly Phil much prefers, which is Elementary with Lucy Liu as Watson. But that's a good one.
Oh, God. No. And I noticed those Sherlockian references. I really did, especially in terms of the writing. And again, it both made me wish I was watching Sherlock because that's a good show.
Okay, here's
Peter. And so referencing something that's good doesn't work when what you're doing is awful. But the other thing about it is it now has soiled Sherlock for me.
Ooh.
And I will be going into Sherlock with this horrible fear that it might reference Doctor Who.
Well,
because the arrow of time goes in both directions, if I understand my doctor correctly.
Precisely. I'll give you the Penny Evans view on this, always worth listening to. It's very British. That's the view on Doctor Who.
That's what I'm saying. That can't be it.
Yeah. She goes on to say, so maybe some Americans just don't get it. And Phil has just read my mind. He's talented like that. They cover science and fantasy. How can you not like it? Then again, I was never a Star Trek fan. To be fair,
I don't think
Matt Smith's seasons were as good as Chris Eccleston or Tennant.
Well, now here's the question though, and I just want someone to answer, someone in your legion of listeners, because I don't mean to say that all I'm expressing is how I felt while watching this, right? And I do see the appeal for little kids. I did with David Tennant see the appeal for hormonal teenage girls. I'm glad we moved away from the romance. I am definitely a no-romo in X-Files parlance where Doctor Who is concerned. There should never be hanky-panky in the TARDIS. However, I just want someone, as I've heard you do about Star Trek, Alex, I want someone to actually elucidate for me a point of view of why this is quality storytelling and quality entertainment, and telling me that something got a 7 out of 10 doesn't do it.
Okay.
That's what passes for narrative criticism here in America, and I expect better from you, my friend.
How about it uses the landscape of fantasy, of the human experience, to really tell a fascinating smorgasbord of tales Having said that, Penny Evans, I think I would agree totally with her latest comment. I think you may have had to have seen Stephen Moffat's Girl in the Fireplace episode to appreciate the Peter Capaldi news series, because there was an awful lot of references to the clockwork machines and, in essence, the whole sort of notion of where the Doctor was coming from. Bear in mind, Phil, of course, that traditionally launching a new Doctor can be fraught with difficulties. And Stephen Moffat did actually say that he was trying to actually echo the Tom Baker era of Robot when he started beginning to introduce this side of things. It was more that kind of line, as opposed to maybe we've been a little bit spoilt because Christopher Eccleston, David Tennant and even Matt Smith, when they were first introduced, I think they probably nailed it a lot more substantially than Peter Capaldi possibly did. But again, I think that's open to discussion. Tariq?
Interesting. So this is an interesting point, and it was Girl in the Fireplace, right?
Yes.
And indeed, I did watch that in preparation. And, of course, I have seen the Tom Baker, but I appreciate this idea that one must really immerse oneself in previous stories in order to enjoy this. That clearly is my mistake, because I thought what they were trying to do here was actually tell a story. I didn't think that what they were doing was simply referencing on previous works mm-hmm. done by. Mm-hmm. My mistake. No wonder I didn't enjoy it, because... There you go.
Ed has had his arms folded in a defensive gesture during the course of this argument. I'll just cite Penny Evans, who agrees that in Doctor Who it should be no romance. She hears Capaldi will not be getting involved in the romance side of things. Little word, not necessarily, but we will be saying a little bit of romance for Clara with another school teacher. Cue Ed.
So, Ed, yes, please, cue Ed Wellman, who, by the way, it occurred to me during all of this, alternately reminds me of either Arthur Dent or Ford Prefect from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I think you're quite right.
He embodies both of them.
He does.
It's a very interesting thing.
That's extraordinary. Ed Wellman, both Arthur Dent and Ford Prefect, a kind of Ford Dent or Arthur Prefect.
Not to mention how skilled I am if anybody out there ever needs to get out of a Fiat Punto.
Exactly.
Without the instruction manual. Uh-huh. You know, I'm your man.
Across the Atlantic.
I can send those instructions across. You know, psychopathically. No, not psychopathically.
No, not you.
No.
What's the word I mean?
Psychically.
Psychically, yeah.
I've told you before about those issues relating to, you know, burgers and guns.
You
don't train them.
So that means that he is also, Ed Wellman, I forgot that, he is also The Hitchhiker's Guide itself.
There we are.
Well, in some life and existence, I perhaps was.
Exactly.
The Ed Wellman, actually.
It's entirely possible that the reason I really don't like Doctor Who is because I am... Doctor.
Exactly.
Well, you might well be. I mean, I'm like Tarina. I did last watch it. What year would that have been with Tom Baker? 1977?
Tom Baker. Tom Baker's era was from 1974 to 1981.
I think it would have been 80, 81. I saw it.
Yeah. So presumably, we had Nyssa of
Traken. I was allowed to stay up a bit later on.
We had Tegan Javanka.
But I will give it a go. I saw Richard Madeley's tweet review on it, which said it was very slow to start with, but then it was amazing.
Exactly.
And that was enough for me. Yeah, next week I will try.
Do you think it's who plays the Doctor as well? Because for a lot of people, Peter Capaldi is sort of...
Malcolm Tucker.
Yeah, you know, the thick of it. And it's, you know, lots of swearing and quite aggressive.
You're not going to get a sweary Doctor Who.
No,
that
but,
would not be good.
You know, for the grown-ups that are watching it with their children... are going to be looking at him and thinking.
Exactly.
But
I never bring baggage like that to an actor, especially an actor that I love so much, and I've always been a huge Peter Capaldi fan. And I think going in his direction is absolutely right. I mean, I think these teenage attempts at a Doctor Who were absolutely altogether wrong. And I think we actually have an actor with gravitas and breadth and depth. I think that's fine. I just always, again, would prefer that such an actor get good material to work on and an interesting character and be involved in stories that are worth telling, as opposed to, oh, I don't know, Doctor Who.
Quick, cue the universe.
The things that are common to you, like windy mornings, starry skies, old trees, beetles, strawberries, doorbells, coffee, blue jeans, and summertime, are not common to us. Enjoy every flippin' moment, the universe. P.S. Believe me, time and space to us is like the ultimate theme park.
Absolutely. A couple of lines from Penny Evans. Her era was Pertwee. He and Liz Sladen were magical, and she loved it when she was with the Doctor and, of course, K-9. Fine with Clara getting involved with some fella, just never really liked the Doctor getting romantic, never did in the past. His travelling companion was his friend only. Obviously, I haven't read much of the fan fiction in that particular field, but let's not go there. Anyway, moving
Alex,
on. Yes.
Alex, why don't you just have Penny record a, you know, a letter from wherever about her Doctor Who recap each week. I mean, that would be an effective segment. You could play it, you know, like the letters from upstate New York.
We could, but
let me ask you this. Is it possible, because, you know, again, I'm at the age where I don't trust my memory. Is it possible that I really spent a week of my life watching an actress try to avoid detection by robots by holding her breath?
Okay.
Is it possible that I really had to sit through that?
I appreciate that. And as we move on to the roll of honour, we certainly thank Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Diana Mather, Helen Zulch on The Secret Life of Dogs, Lucy Cruikshank, Nuffield scholar from New Zealand with her sheep dairy import, senior cardiac nurse for the British Heart Foundation, Maureen Talbot, Louis Savvy, Tara Bennett, and your good self, Phil Dearness. I know you'll be doing a little feature on little obituaries and so on to say hats off to the gentleman who was Mr. Hammond in this little number, Jurassic Park. Of course, we lost the eminence that was Richard Attenborough this week. Lord Attenborough headed off to the great Hollywood in the sky, so all the very best to Lord Attenborough. Did wonderful things, etc. I was lucky enough to meet him on one occasion. He's a gentleman, charming man, and just wanted to wrap up the show with this. But the last two questions, of course, need to be asked. Ed, would you like to put them to Phil Dearness, please?
Mr. Dearness, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, all about Doctor Who?
Not really. I look forward to staying on the line for the next half hour and discussing what's going on.
You stay right there, Phil. We won't be there. You stay there. You'll be our guest.
We're off to actually take part and actually present the Lincoln-inspired quiz at the fabulous collection, Stokes Cafe, in the collection. We did say we'd actually give two stories or two little questions. The last one is, who wrote The Alchemist? Who wrote The Alchemist? There we are. There's a little teaser ahead for that. Phil, by the way, what was the Star Trek episode I was referencing in the part of the show that you didn't hear when I was talking about a library serves no use unless people are using it?
Is that the one with Mr. Atos? Is that like all our yesterdays or yesterday's tomorrow? Or
he's
like
still
that?
Got his Star Trek stuff. Tarina, many thanks.
Thank you.
Ed, thank you. Can we all say bye-bye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.